Street where the five horses, there was 2 6-and-a-half furlongs. The race was 6.
Right.
2 6-and-a-half. One was from Belmont, one was from Fairplace. There was a 6 and a 7 and an 8 and a half of my 5. And I didn't know what to do, and I made up a pace line and bombed. So what did you do in kids like that?
You made up a pace line?
Yeah, in other words, I took Del Mar pace line,
uh-huh.
Which was, I suppose, pretty close to it. That's okay. The only one I had.
And they were going 6 furlongs.
Yeah.
And it didn't work.
No.
That's one you lose. That's really good.
Did it do it right, though?
Yeah. Yeah, that's the way I would have done it, and I would have lost, too. Because they were going 6 furlongs today. The track record at Del Mar is the same as at Santa Anita. It's 107-3. That would have been my choice, and I would have lost that race, too. Yeah. So.
In fact, I think the winner paid about $23.
Did you try it another way?
Did you try it a different way to see if you would have got it going a different way?
I rerun it, but I run the same pace line because I didn't know what else to do.
Right, I mean, a different setup, though.
No, I didn't.
Okay. Sometimes you can find a way to do it, but you know, only time will tell whether you're going to do it right that way all the time. But that to answer your question, that's the way I would have done it, so I would have lost this bike.
Why don't the example you have up there, so your eight furlong is sustained, and you know, and the others are coming from the same track where you happen to know that it's early, say, for 8 and a half. Does it change the bias any?
No.
Because the horse's running style, if the horse is a sustained pace horse, it doesn't matter whether he's on an early track or sustained track, he's still going to run as a sustained pace horse. The track surface doesn't bother me at all. No, I don't take that into consideration. I look at the horse's running style rather than the track that he came from. Any more questions about these setup times? Because these are real important. This is probably one of the most important things you do in using the synergism. The rest is just entering the data. Yes?
Is it legitimate to go to another race and pick a pace line, get more pace line, if you're careful about class and basic pace level?
No. Use the contention in today's race. Horses don't run against class levels, against part-times, against track surfaces. They run against the other horses in the race. So the most accurate adjustment you can make for a horse that needs to be adjusted, because we have a difference in pace lines, is to adjust him to the pace that he's going to be running at today. That's the most accurate adjustment you can make, and there's where the strength of synergism comes. It's not just some arbitrary adjustment. We're adjusting these horses to, at least at this point, to the most accurate adjustment we've been able to come up with. And that's adjusting to the pace of the race as it should be today.
What about taking pace lines from horses that you have eliminated from consideration in that same race?
If they're not contenders, I don't use them. I only use the contenders in the race because these are the guys that should set the pace that these horses have to be adjusted to. Okay? Good question, though. That's something that was not asked yesterday. Yes, question.
My question, an example, if there are 2 races at Santa Anita, both good, both on sloppy track, and use those pace lines to drop back to Del Mar for a 6 furlong.
Yeah, it doesn't matter if it's an off track. Synergism will adjust it automatically, okay. So just use them. These, you're talking for your setup times now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Each of these setup times is calculated, or a variant is made for each of these before it goes and it's averaged with the others. So they'll be brought into line. There's no problem. Any other questions on these setup times? Okay. Let's get on to the examples we have in the race. Pace line selections that I made for the horses here in this second race. 4 of them were adjusted to Olympic Bingo. He's the only one that's in here at 9 furlongs. I didn't make any class adjustments at all in this race. When the program asks you early in the setup, shippers in this race, you only have to answer yes to that question if you have like pace lines. In other words, you've told the computer that today's distance is 9 furlongs, and you have 2 9-furlong pace lines, but they're from different tracks or surfaces. So you'd answer yes, so that one of those, when it asks you the question as you're entering the pace line, is this horse a shipper? One of them is not, and the other one is. And you'd answer yes to the horse that may be shipping from the grass to the dirt. That's a switch. Or from a different track. If you have 3 horses at 8, they're all from the same track, and 2 horses from with 9 furlong pace lines, and it asks you, are there any shippers in this race? You say no. That way you don't have to answer the question on each of those 3 inputs of the 8.5.
Grass to dirt is a shipper, mud to fast is a shipper.
No. No, no shippers for off track. They're automatically taken care of by the variant calculated internally.
Are you talking about the setup time?
Well, when you first start the program, you say new race, it asks you a series of questions. Hard copy, class and APV.
Adjustment, automatic adjustment,
and the distance. And then it says, any shippers in this race? You only have to say yes if you're going to have to adjust the horse, a horse who has the same distance as the distance you put into the setup time. For example, let's say we set it up as an 8.5-furlong race. You have 3 8.5-furlong pace lines. All of them are from Santa Anita, and you're at Santa Anita today. So you'd say no to the shipper. So it doesn't bother to answer the question. But if you had one horse in there that had an 8.5-furlong race from Del Mar, then you'd have to say, yes, there are shippers in this race. So every time you put in an 8.5-furlong pace line, the computer will prompt you, shipper, yes or no. 2 of them you'd say no to, and when you put in the Del Mar horse, you'd say yes, and then that horse would be properly adjusted. If you don't have those like pace lines, it speeds up your input process by not stopping and asking if the horse is a shipper, that's all.
Like for Bay Meadows, for instance, the class from that track to this track, they knew into that later in the class when that's for class adjustment.
That's in the class adjustment, right.
Does anybody not know how to make a track record when you don't see it before you in actual time? Anybody not know how to do that? Bob will show you right now.
You know how to find the track record?
Well, I don't even understand the question.
All right, let's do it, because there may be a lot of people listening on the tape anyway. All right, let's say that you've decided to use, again, we'll use an example. We have 3 8.5-furlong pace lines, 2 at 9. We're racing at Santa Anita, but all 3 of these 8.5-furlong pace lines are from Del Mar. Okay, so we want to use the track record at Del Mar for the setup time. To adjust these horses, the 2 9-furlong races to. Because what we're doing is we're transferring this race from Santa Anita back to Del Mar. Fooling the computer. All right, so we've got a final time of one of the horses in here of a 140. Make it a 142-1. And his speed rating is 90. What's the track record at Del Mar for 8.5 furlongs? Right. 10, the difference is 10? 2 full seconds. So you just subtract 2 seconds from the final time of this horse because he won the race with 0 beaten length. 140-1 is the track record at Del Mar. All right, suppose that he had a...
That's right. Exarvin, you don't have any idea about Exarvin, how you got to tell.
Right. Let's say we're at Exarvin for some reason, and you've got a 144-4. As the pace line, the horse has beaten 2 lengths, and the speed rating is an 85. What's the track record there?
13 fifths.
13 fifths subtracted from 144.
The 85 horse has beaten 2 lengths. Right.
87, that's correct.
87 from 100 is 13.
So right.
13 from 144.
All right. That gives us 142. Yeah, 142-1 is the track record Exarvin. That's how you do it. Okay.
Add 2 and then you subtract 3.
Right. Everybody understand how to do that now? It isn't that difficult. Okay. You don't have to do that very often, but when you do, it's handy to be able to do it. Now, let's say that you're off by a fifth or something, so you screw up and don't get the track record right. Big deal. It's not going to hurt anything when you run synergism. The relative adjustment, it'll be off a little bit. But relatively speaking, it's not going to be enough to hurt you. So don't fret about, well, I might have missed it by a fifth. It's not going to hurt anything. Well, but you want to be as accurate as you can because of the adjustments that are being made. So you want to get it as, you want to be accurate if you can. Making one up out of your head is not a real good idea. Go through the process and get it right. Well,
you can make that up out of
exactly.
Your head and win. You could probably win without a computer anyway.
Right.
If you're actually due the ship, isn't that a whole lot of difference in time, at least, between, say, Del Mar and San
Diego? It's a quasi-meridian adjustment. It goes through, it's a lot of machinations. It's a little difficult to tell you exactly how to do it. So it's a lot of code when you go through it. But it seems to be very accurate, and it's universally accurate. It seems to be working at every track that we've tested it so far. We released this one in July, and we have not found a track yet that reported that the adjustments are not working. So I think we found something that works pretty good. It's a little complicated, but it's a quasi-meridian adjustment, something similar to what the UltraScan used to do on a little more accurate problem.
You're better not understand it. Question. Faith is the most important thing.
I have a question.
Sure.
When you're putting in a pace line, do you say the shipper, okay, when you first punch it, it wants the line.
Right.
So, okay, do you put in the lines for the shipper?
For the setup time?
Yeah.
No.
And that's what I'm talking
about. Only for the horses that have a race at this track, at the distance you've told the computer that we're going today.
Right.
Yeah, you hit the button for no after you've entered the three horses that you're going to use as the setup time that the other two are going to be adjusted to.
So I've got two fixed from San Anita, one fixed from Delmar. I don't put Delmar right.
No, you do not. Okay, any more questions on the setup time? Yes.
You don't have the experience with the track record in 6 furlongs for Delmar,
San Anita. You could, however. You'll see that when we go through the process here that I didn't. And the reason is the surface structure is different. It is a different track. So I treat a horse that chips from Del Mar to Santa Anita, even though the track record for 6 furlongs is exactly the same, 107.3, I still treat the horse as a chipper and I found it to be more accurate. Because the daily variant, we're still at the same physical structured track. Each track is not exactly the same, even though it may be a mile over. They all have different structures to them. And an off track at this track, to me, is immaterial, because the daily variant made for that accounts for it. It's done. Just like Tommy makes his variants, and this program makes his variants, it's the same thing. Any other questions on the setup time? Okay. All right, you can see the pace line selections I made here for Olympic Bingo was the last race. I went 4 back for Crowning, 2nd back for Yippee-I-O and Sagamore, and the 12 July race at Hollywood Park for Bold St. Pat. Okay? I'm probably not going to be able to give you a whole lot of answers on pace line selections here because I made these 3 weeks ago and I just went back and dug up the form, or 2 weeks ago, whatever it was. And these are the actual pace lines that I use. They're all marked in the form. I don't know why I went back that far on Bold St. Pat. I had a reason, but I cannot at this time tell you what it was. And I think it's immaterial anyway. I didn't make that last race is just, you know, if you use that, he's out of it altogether anyway. The mile he had a lot of problems in. He was wide, and the horse likes to close, so he had problems in that race. The other one, he didn't run well. And I made the horse a contender. They made a good move in that 9-furlong race. I made him a contender, so I wanted a pace line that I could use. It's the best thing I could tell you. And that's why I went back and got one that I thought he might run today. In fact, he did. He ran a pretty good race today. Ended up second. Okay. Now, someone said, is one race good enough? It was the only one that we had to set this race up with the Olympic Bingo race, and there are the results there. I'll show you what happened in the race. Any questions on that race? Yes.
What's it telling you with all the turn times coming in number two,
when they're all tied like that, I just don't rely on it. Now, you got to remember something. I hadn't been to the track in quite a while. I ranked all of my races this day on Factor W. Factor W is now, and as far as I know, always has been, the strongest factor in the starting methodology. Phase three, synergism, whatever. So when in doubt, I rank them on Factor W. I didn't have a track profile. I don't know what's going on at this track, how it's playing. I don't have a model or anything. I'm just going out there to play for a couple of days. So turn time at this particular stage of the game doesn't mean much to me. I'm more interested in Factor W and the early-late relationship. Yes?
If you weighted all of your races on Factor W, I know that eventually, over a period of time, that model would be as good as if you weighted on 30 or late or whatever. What I'm saying is that if you weighted, say, early, track change, example, it becomes sustained.
Will Factor W pick that up as strongly as you missed the race? I can't answer that. Let me tell you something about choosing how you rank these races. I found it more important to know how the race is going to shape up today as for ranking rather than how the track is playing. The example is that first race we were talking about 3 weeks ago when that $76 horse won. I mean, there were nothing but closers in that race, yet I ranked that race early because I want to know which one of these plotters was going to be in front. So that's because of the shape of the race today determined how I was going to rank the race, not so much how the track is playing. And I found that to be a little more valuable to me. Now, other people may have different experiences, and it depends on how good you are at recognizing how the race is going to shape up today. If you're not real good at it, like John, he says he doesn't have a handle yet on this ESP. It's folly for him to say, okay, I recognize this race is going to be run early and I'm going to rank it early, when he really doesn't have that good a handle on it yet. Okay?
If you weight a race on shape, on how you think it's going to shape, right? Wouldn't, example of matchup become more important there?
Absolutely. The matchup is always important regardless of the shape of the race. The matchup is critical.
So if it tells you the matchup after you rate the shape, it tells you that the race is probably going to be won wide to wide or near wide to wide. A horse that can't get to the front is out.
Right? Yeah. He gets the lead. He doesn't have a chance. Yes.
So when you ask it to rate it on, let's say, early, that has some weight back in the program. So when you get back asking to read out, you just switch over and then ask for type one, if that's either for you or interpreted. You know, it's already weighted on the early.
Yeah.
What you're doing
is you're going to start confusing. The only thing that's weighted, let's go over, this is going to be a later discussion, but I'll give it to you now briefly. W-E-S-T, okay, for Factor W, early pace, sustained pace, and turn time formula. Turn time formula is the only factor that changes when you make your selection on how to weight the race. Turn time formula, as you all know, is first plus third divided by two plus the second divided by two. And then whatever you've chosen as your ranking, Factor W, early pace, or sustained pace, is then added to the turn time formula and divided by two again. So this is the only factor that changes your weight. The other thing with weighting, if you've made a decision that you think this race is going to run early, or if your track profile tells you that this distance runs early, and you rank them on early, even if you're not using turn time as a predictor, what happens is your number one early horse is placed on top with your rankings, and your number two early horse is placed on top in your rankings, or second in your rankings, so that you're always looking at the top two of what you perceive to be your best horses in the race under today's conditions. That's the reason that we gave you the option for the ranking in the first place. The turn time formula weighting came as an afterthought. Okay? It was to physically place your two top horses in the area that you have chosen as most predictable for today's outcome, be it factor W, early pace, or sustained pace. Part of the process. You have to have this visualization of how this race is going to run today to determine how to interpret your readouts. You just can't blindly look at these readouts and say, well, he's number one, factor W, that's my horse. Yeah. Not true. I don't know what ranking he had in factor W, two, three, four.
There were three and four.
Okay, three and four, and they ran 1-2. Because sustained pace was the strongest influence in that race. Yes?
What shape race is
pace race. That's an even pace race. Pretty much. It gives you the best of early and sustained, what it is. Because factor W is early plus sustained divided by 2 in a route. And it's early twice plus the third fraction divided by 3 in a sprint. Okay, when in doubt, if you don't know, rank it on factor W and then look at your printouts and try and garner some information from the printouts. Rank them on factor W if you don't know. What's his name? Elton Smith did us a real nice favor when we first published Synergism. He had one of the early copies and he did a 100 race study at Exarban and a 100 race study at the fairgrounds. Used 6 horses in every race, played every race except Maidens, Harry? Did not do the maiden race.
The first time started. He probably did everything.
He included.
Walked, right. That first time
he included the maiden races and maiden claiming races as long as there were no first time starters in the race. So 100 races at each track, ranked them all on factor W. And in the top two, factor W had 64% winners with no further handicapping whatsoever. And he used the last race, didn't he, Harry? The last race on every horse.
No, he didn't. No. He used just however he would have ordinary pace.
Oh, yeah. All right.
He had no rule on pace.
No rules on pace.
He pretended like he did not know anything about early or late. He used only W and turn time.
64% winners cold. And what was the average mutual?
He got a good average mutual. It was, I forget. 9-10 in book management. Yeah,
very high average mutual, naturally, because at the fairgrounds, it's a sustained pace track, and there's a lot of good prices.
Nine based on a two, $9.80 based on a $2 bet. $15.60 at fairgrounds because they're based on $3.
Any more questions on the weighting and why you choose to weight it one way or the other?
Kind of go against yourself and using, going against your model, I should say, when you're looking at the weighting.
Not when you don't have a model. Okay. See, unfortunately, I don't get to go to the track very often. So, and I don't get to handicap very often. I don't even bother buying the form because I've been very busy lately. And so when I'm going to make a decision, I am going to go to the track. I don't have a model or a track profile or anything to work from. All I've got is my readouts.
I strongly
suggest if you're betting on a regular basis, you keep a betting model. It's crazy not to. If you're going to devote as much time and energy to this game and you're not taking advantage of all the tools that are available to you, you're just risking your bankroll. Well, you might as well play the stock market. There's a real risk for you. I'm serious about it. You take advantage of all the tools. The Sartain methodology is not a single program. It ultra-scan phase 3, synergism, or anything else. There are a lot of different tools available to you, and you should take advantage of all of them if you're a serious player. Because the more you use, the better you're going to get, the more money you're going to make out. All right, let's skip over to the next race. This is the third race. Nine winners are one. Three and up fillies. 8.5 furlongs. I made Very Classy Lady, Behind the Scenes, Icy Run, Chicken Dinner, and Seize Viger, the contenders in here. I use a second back for Very Classy Lady. That's the obvious pace line. The last one was on the graph. We used 19 August for Behind the Scenes. And the last race for Icy Run, Chicken Dinner, third back for Seize Viger. Now I used Chicken Dinner and Seize Viger pace lines to set up the par variance. They're a mile and a 16th at this track. Again, that's the obvious choice. Yes?
From Double Charm to the rest, which pace line did you use? Chicken Dinner was...
Chicken Dinner
I used, let's see. Last race. Yep. Third back for Seize Viger. Okay. All right. Chicken Dinner and Seize Viger, again, are the pace lines I use to set up the variant. They're the obvious ones in this in here.
Against a maiden pace line.
These are all maiden winners. That's all they are. All they have is a maiden win. So as far as I'm concerned, they're all maiden. I don't have any prejudice whatsoever. This race is carded for horses that just broke their maiden. Okay, I didn't use any class adjustments in here. Now, there's not much commentary I can give you. I mean, the pace line selection is fairly obvious, and you just run them through the computer. So the setups are from those two horses. You run them through, and there's your printout. They were tied number one in Factor W, the winning place horses. Behind the Scenes was balanced, imbalanced to early, and Very Classy Lady, imbalanced to late. Now, if you look at the race shape here, this sets up, I think, for a presser rather than a closer, and Behind the Scenes is more of a closer, even though she came up number one early. Her running style is a closer. But it wasn't hard. I mean, I'm using top two Factor W here, and as long as they're not terribly out of whack on the early-late relationships, and the choice is obvious here. You bet those two horses. 4-1 and 7-1. Not hard to take. The seventh race, Friday. Am I missing some pages? No, just not. Okay, contenders in here are yours, enter to any time. Sasha's Joy, O Marie, Eastern Spice, Peggy D. Pace line selections. Real simple. Third back for yours anytime and the last race for everybody else in the race. Okay. Yours anytime. Off slowly, bad race in the last race. A mile, and we're going 6.5 today. A mile on the grass and the race before that, so the obvious choice. 6 furlongs at this level at Del Mar. Everybody else is the last race. Now, you got two tandems in here. You have the Peggy D tandem and the Saris Brig tandem. So I used the setup times, the one time Peggy D race and one time the Saris Brig race. I don't put them in twice. Okay, tandem races you only enter one time. That is an No, I entered two. You got two tandems in here. I got four horses out of two tandems. Omarie, Eastern Spice, Sasha's Joy, and Peggy D came out of the two tandems. Sasha's Joy and Eastern Spice came out of the same race. So I only use one of those times for the setup. And then O'Marie and Peggy D came out of the same race, so I only entered that times one time. So there were only two times entered for the setup.
In other words, you entered the time, but it didn't back the horse.
Right. Okay. So when it asked me for the setups, I put in 44 and 3, 109 and 4. That takes care of Sasha's Joy and Eastern Spice. And then I entered the 45 and the 110 and 1, and that takes care of O'Marie and Peggy D. Okay? That's for the setup time. And then I'm off and running. This was real simple race. I mean, you don't have to be an intellectual giant to figure this one out. The pace lines are so obvious, and everything else is obvious. And there are the results, a $12 horse. And look at three horses tied for early speed in this race and tell me if it doesn't set up very nicely for yours anytime. I mean, this is just a classic situation. You got three horses all tied for early pace. And your number two W horse is number one on sustain. Perfectly imbalanced. And that's her running style. I mean, just look at her past performances. She just really likes to have some speed to run at. And there it is. Look at the exacta. That's a $2 exacta. No, I beg your pardon, it's $5 exacta. Not bad.